Aren't you thankful that once for all, Jesus paid it all?
Amen.
Let's turn in our Bibles. Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. Just a couple of additional announcements. I know there's a lot of announcements in there, but just a couple that you need to know about. First, don't forget, next Sunday night is our annual church meeting. All right, so after the evening service next week will be the annual church meeting. The annual report will be available this week, so when you come into church on Wednesday, you will have the annual report there. Just make a note of that. Next week is the annual church meeting. In addition, next Sunday, the children's aspect of the Sunday schools will resume to the regular classrooms. Those of you that are teaching the children's class, I think I've spoken to every one of the teachers, and it told them that next week the children will be back in their regular classrooms. The adults will still be together for a couple more weeks. Pastor, I'll let you know next week when that is going to change. But the children's class, obviously, if you're teaching a children's class, you will not be in here. You'll be back in the regular classrooms. If you don't know what classroom you're in, or if you don't know which grade you're teaching, please see me right after the service, and I have a handout that I can give to you, the Sunday school material. I think everybody's picked it up, but it is back by the nursery on the table. Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11, a passage of scripture that many of us, over the course of our life as a Christian, as a believer, have turned to for strength, for comfort, for encouragement. And I want to look at this passage a little more in depthly. I also want to look at it from two aspects. Oftentimes, we focus this passage of scripture strictly on the encouragement for the believer, but I think it's also a passage that, if you're here without Christ today, is extremely and as applicable to your life as well. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, we're thankful that we can come to you. And Lord, that you give us rest. And Lord, you give us peace. And Lord, you release us, Lord, from those things that are just burdening us down. And Lord, we are thankful that we can follow you, Lord, and your yoke is easy. So Lord, I pray that you would bless us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would use me this morning. Lord, may the words I speak be your words and your words alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David Livingstone, pioneer missionary to Africa, it's been estimated that he walked approximately during his ministry 29,000 miles. I like to walk, but 29,000 miles is that's a bit much. His wife passed away early on in their ministry, and even his own Scottish brethren really opposed his work. But in his diary, he penned these words, and I'm going to read them to you. This is a quote from his diary. He said, "Send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever me from any tie, but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart." Wow. I read that and I thought to myself, lay any burden on me. And as I read this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter number 11, I thought of that and I thought, oftentimes we are dealing with burdens and cares and woes. And we turn to this passage of scripture for comfort and for peace and for relief. But I read this quote from David Livingstone and I think to myself, well, wait. Because oftentimes, what's the thought? Well, I want to live a life that's free of burdens. If you figure out how to do that, please let me know. Please let me know. Oftentimes, people will not turn to the Lord for salvation because they say, well, it's too, or I shouldn't say that. They won't serve the Lord with all their hearts and surrender to God because they say, oh, it's too much. I see what people who are, serving God go through. I see what people without God are going through. And we often are allow ourselves to be duped by the devil that the life of serving Christ is a life of misery and woe. But it's just the opposite.
Amen.
Because even though we may have burdens that we deal with, guess who's our sustainer? And guess who's our Redeemer who takes us through those battles? And as I read this passage of Scripture, I'm just reminded that, well, there are burdens that we are going to have to deal with in life. Now, sometimes there are burdens we shouldn't have to deal with, and I'm going to focus on that as well. Sometimes we bring burdens along that we really should be leaving behind. But we know that the Lord's yoke is easy.
That's right.
And the Lord's yoke is light, and we can go through life. Yes, there are burdens we have to deal with, but we can come unto Him and we can find rest and peace in our souls. So let's look at this passage of Scripture. The first thing I want to look at is the bidding. The bidding. You want to call it the invitation? That's fine. That's what it is. It's an invitation from Jesus Christ. He says, "Come unto me." First thing I see is that it is not only an invitation, but it's a personal invitation. I think oftentimes we look at our Christianity in general terms. And what I mean by that is this. We look at it, and when we read something that's written to this, we look at it as, well, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that," and then we say, "Oh yeah, he's saying anybody," and we kind of look at it very general. And I think, and I believe that we need to start to make our relationship with our Savior a personal one. Come unto me. He's talking to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I think it's important in our life that we start to have a personal relationship. And I'm talking about beyond salvation. Obviously, that's where it starts. Because when we came to the Savior, it was a personal decision that each and every one of us made.
That's right.
And He saved us. I can't save anybody. I wish I could pray people and they would get saved just because of my prayers alone. But Jesus Christ, they have to come to the Savior for salvation. And each and every one of us had to make a decision at some point in our life when we accepted Jesus Christ and trusted Him for salvation. And I think we need to and continue to need to follow after Jesus on a personal daily basis. It's funny, but as you think about our lives, you know, I shared this in the 8:30 service, and that's, you know, we get on fire for the Lord at times, and that's a good thing. You know, I was kind of chuckling to myself early on because I was thinking of times, you know, you'll be sitting in church like this, and pastor will preach a message, and you'll get excited. And that's good. Because you know what? Our heart, we should get excited. Listen, sometimes people say, well, Christianity is not an emotional thing. No, it is. Because if you're excited about the Lord, that's an emotion. Now, our salvation is not just based on emotions. It's on a personal decision. But it should bring out some emotion. It should invoke some excitement in us.
Amen.
And now I love it when you see people get saved and they're excited. I want to go out and tell somebody. I want to share it with someone. I want to do something. So it should evoke an emotion. And sometimes we'll be sitting, and I kind of remembered back to years when I would go to the prayer advance, or I'd sit here and I'd hear a message, and I'd be excited. I'm thinking to myself, man, that's awesome. I want to go do that now. I want to go do that right this second before this feeling goes away. I'm excited. I want to go do this. Then you go to sleep and wake up the next day. You think, well, that was a momentary insanity that I had. Let me get my feet a little more firmly grounded. And we start to talk ourselves out of what God has put on our heart to do. We're like, oh, whew, boy, I'm glad I didn't do that yesterday because I might have actually done it. Whew, let me get back to some reality. And what happens is our personal relationship with our Savior suffers because we don't realize, listen, it's got to be a daily reaching out to the Savior.
That's right.
Not just once, not just during Sunday. Hey, it's exciting when pastor's preaching and God speaks to your heart and you really get on fire for something. But what happens on Monday and on Tuesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday? Is our personal relationship with the Lord so close that every day we're meeting with Him? Because we need to meet with Him every day. There's enough. Listen, it does not take long. And even if we are meeting with God every morning and we're having devotions every morning and we're walking with the Savior, listen, it does not take long if you walk out the door to your house for the attacks to start.
That's right.
It doesn't take long for your resolve, if you will, to be tested. And we need to be closely walking with our Savior. It has to be a personal relationship. Listen, I would love nothing more than to be able to pray and pray and pray and that my kids could just follow along in my footsteps and just do exactly what I'm doing and that they'll be spiritual because I'm spiritual. And I'm sure all of us would love to see that. There's people we know in our lives that we pray for. And hey, listen, I would love to have them come alongside and just because I do it, they do it. That's great, but that's not the way it works. I used to challenge our teenagers all the time. I said, listen, you're 14, you're 15, you're 16, you're 17. You need to make a decision now.
Amen.
What do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe?
Right.
If I say to you, why are you in church? Why do you go to church, teenager? If your answer is, well, because mom and dad make me go, that's a problem. Because that is not a personal relationship. You're doing it because, now listen, I understand when they're younger, you just make them go. But there does come a point where you have to decide for yourself, why do you do it? Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why? Can you defend your faith? That comes from having a personal relationship, by experiencing God's grace in your life. You can then communicate it to others, and you can grow. But if our walk is strictly based on somebody else, sooner or later that's going to fall. We need to have a personal relationship. And in this passage, Jesus says, come unto me. It's an invitation. Listen, I love when kids are younger and Christmas cards come and there's one addressed to them. Do you ever see the excitement on their face? Oh, that's mine. That's for me. It's got my name on it. It's like they just got like a letter from the President of the United States. Oh, it's got my name on it. Don't you dare open it. And they love opening it. Or when they get an invitation to a birthday party that's in their name, they're excited. It's a personal thing for them. They love it. Listen, the Lord is saying, come unto me. That's an invitation from Jesus Christ to come to Him. Wow. In Isaiah chapter 45, in Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 22, there is examples throughout the scriptures of God calling out and inviting us. In chapter 45 and verse 22, the Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Verse 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. God calls us. God calls us first of all to salvation, but then as believers, He calls us to come to Him for rest and comfort.
Right.
And to be yoked together with the Savior, not with the cares of this world. Come unto me. It's a personal invitation, a personal relationship. Letter B, it's authoritative. You know, Jesus didn't say, here's what I want you to do. You want to find rest? Go read this book, study it, there'll be a quiz, and then you'll find rest and comfort. No, He says, come unto me. If you read through these three verses, the comfort and rest and the yoke that He's talking about here, it's all about Him. Come unto me, He says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, we will never find rest and peace outside of Jesus Christ. People go everywhere. But true peace and true rest comes in the Savior and the Savior alone. I'm as guilty of this as anybody. Oftentimes we deal with burdens and we deal with difficulties, tragedies, turmoil, trials, tests, whatever name you want to put to it. We all go through it. Where do we turn when we're in the midst of those things? I wish I could stand here and tell you that every time I suffer something, I go running to the Savior. I wish I could say that, but I don't. Too many times I try and fix the problem myself. Oftentimes, I learn very quickly that my way is not the best way, ever. Sometimes we know where God wants to take us and we don't like that answer. Or we don't understand God's ways. The Bible does say God's ways are not our ways. They aren't. Listen, God has a plan that is far beyond our comprehension. But we can follow the Lord. Sometimes we'll be dealing with, I'm just thinking of a couple of situations over the years, and thinking of one situation many years ago, and I had to go to a fellow believer, a brother, and ask forgiveness for something. It was really stupid, but I just felt like I had to ask. And I went to somebody and asked them about it. Because I was a young believer, and I didn't know any better. And he's like, well, you need to go to that person. I was like, yeah, but it's such a minor thing. What's the big deal? He goes, well, you need to go. And I'm thinking, yeah, what am I doing? I'm trying to reason. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but this is small. Who cares, really? I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. And oftentimes we'll excuse away the things that God tells us to do because we think our ways are better. Or we may not understand, why do I need to do that? That person may not even know about this. Who cares? And then it sits there and it kind of festers. And listen, it doesn't take much. A little thing can become a root of bitterness that will eat you up. But it didn't start out that way. It started out as something small. And I've learned that, you know what, no matter what the Lord tells us to do, if we just do it, understand it or not, if we just follow God, you can't go wrong.
Amen.
We can't go wrong. God is the authority. He said, come unto me. Don't go to this one. Don't go to that one. Don't watch Dr. So-and-so on TV, as smart as he may sound, or she, or whoever. Judge so-and-so on TV doesn't have all the answers. Okay? Jesus Christ does. And oftentimes, you know, we kind of look for other places for answers, and Jesus says, come unto me. He was declaring his authority. He was declaring his authority. Back a couple of chapters in Matthew chapter 9, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 9 and in verse number 1, it says, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that he may know, I'm sorry, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. There is one who has the power to forgive our sins and heal us and save us, and that's Jesus Christ. Only Jesus has the authority. He has the power.
Right.
Only Christ can save us from our sins.
That's right.
There is a whole lot of confusion. People saying, oh, let's just gather together. Well, you call God Jesus. We call him this, but it's the same God. No.
That's right.
There's one God.
Amen.
And Jesus came for one purpose. And that was to seek and to save that which was lost. And only he has the authority to heal and forgive. Sinful man. It was personal. It was authoritative. It was all inclusive. It was all inclusive. I'm thankful that there are not people who are too sinful that he can't save. Because I think I probably would have been right at the top of the list. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, the Bible says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." It's an all-inclusive invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. For the unbeliever, you could come to the Savior and know that no one is too wicked that he can't save. That no one is too sinful that he would turn you away. You come to him with simple faith. In Sunday school today, we taught from Matthew. Matthew chapter number 8. And when the Roman captain had a servant who was dying, he knew where the answer lied. Didn't lie with the doctor. It lied with the Savior. And he went to the Savior, and Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." The man said, you would think he'd be thrilled. But he wasn't. You know what he says? He said, "I'm not good enough for you to come to my house." Wow. But he said, "I know you have the power to just speak right now where you stand, and you can heal him." And the Savior looks out. Now, this is a Roman who the Jews didn't really want to, you know, they tolerated each other, but they didn't really get along too well. And he looks out at the crowd of those who were mostly Jews, and he says, "I have not found any faith, anyone who believed in me more than this man." And he's looking at all the Jews. They must have been like, "What?" Like a slap in the face. And then he says, "You can go, because the thing that you asked, the thing that you believed by faith, I just did." But here it is. Unbeliever, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there is one way to heaven.
Amen.
Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a lot of things out there. People are trying to get to heaven a whole lot of different ways. And you know what they're finding? A whole lot of disappointment.
That's right.
People want their burdens released. They want all their sins released and forgiven. And you know what happens? They still carry them around.
Right.
In John chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus talks about himself as a good shepherd. And he also says, anybody who tries to get in any other way is like a thief and a robber. There's one way to heaven. Well, that's intolerant. There's one way to heaven. I didn't say it. God did. And people will argue and fight with God. And what they really want to do is, hey, I want to keep doing what I want to do. People don't want to come face to face with the reality of it. I say, well, that's harsh. No, it's the truth. You know why? Because I was like that. I fought with it 6 months, hearing it. Yeah, I don't want to come. Listen, I like going to parties. I like enjoying my friends. I like doing all the things that I do. I don't want to give all that stuff up. And I fought with God, and I fought with my heart was my heart and the flesh and the spirit were fighting with one another. That's what we do. That's what the world does. Why should we expect anything less? But we should never waver from the fact that there is one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's all inclusive. It's to whoever believes. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. People come to the Savior, they try and get to heaven a whole lot of different ways, and they have no freedom from sin, they have no lifting of the burdens, they remain shackled. But think back to that day. Go back to that day when you cried out to the Savior.
Amen.
See, it's hard to explain other than to say when we asked Christ to save us, we knew that our burdens were lifted, our shackles were freed because of what Jesus did. And it's an amazing thing, because if you think about, man, save me? Yeah, he did. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We don't have to be shackled. But believer, he calls us to leave our burdens, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. Listen, it's a new year. Maybe there's something we've been carrying around, burdens, and cares and things that we've been caring. Hey, the Savior wants us to bring them to Him. Why? Because He cares for us. I told the kids this morning in Sunday school, I said, if there's a fire in your house, you're not calling a dentist, are you? They're like, no, that would be silly. I said, of course it would. Well, if we know that we have a sin problem, why don't we go to the one place that we know we can get help? Right. That Roman officer went to the one place. Listen, he knew that Jesus could heal his servant. He didn't go to the scribes or the Pharisees or the religious leaders. He went to the one who he believed would heal his servant, Jesus Christ. And we need to tell people, hey, listen, he could free you from that. Yeah, but you don't understand who I am. You don't understand. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What about the most wickedest person in the world? He can heal them. What about murderers? He can heal them. Think about the Apostle Paul. Who was Paul? Listen, if we read in today's social media society, in the news, of what Paul was doing then today, oh, people would be up in arms. People would be up in arms. But guess what? He met the Savior. And his life was never the same.
Amen.
And listen, we met the Savior, and our lives were never the same. It's an all-inclusive bidding, an all-inclusive invitation. God calls out to whosoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The bidding. Second thing is the burden. Back in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now those two phrases, labor and heavy laden, kind of give two different connotations. Labor, first one, letter A, labor, is the burdens that we take upon ourselves. Those are the burdens that we bring upon ourselves. Charles Spurgeon illustrated it this way. He illustrated it this way. He said, picture you are getting ready to move and you need to hire a furniture mover. You got a lot of heavy stuff. I hate moving. These guys that move are great. I mean, they know angles and, you know, most of them lift weights and all that stuff. Me, that's just not my thing, but you do it when you have to. So picture you have to move all your stuff and you hire a furniture mover and he shows up at your house ready to move and he's got a backpack with 100 pounds of weight on his back and he says, all right, I'm ready to go, and he starts trying to move the stuff. And he starts, and he's having problems with this, and he's moving it. He's trying to move stuff, and he's struggling with it, and he finally starts complaining. He says, I can't move any of this stuff. Why don't you take that 100-pound backpack off your back? Oh, and then he does, and guess what? It's a lot easier to do it. And that's the labor that we bring upon ourselves. You know, we want to serve God. We want to serve the Lord, but we bring all these burdens unnecessarily and then say, Lord, I can't serve you. Look at all these things that are happening. I want to serve you, God. I'd love to sing in the choir, but I got to be here at 4:30 on Sunday. Oh, I can't do that. Lord, I want to do this, but you know, it's just, that's not going to work out. And you know, you don't understand all these other things. And most of the time, all those other burdens are things that we bring upon ourselves. In Psalm 38, verse 4, the Bible says, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Listen, sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's sin. Listen, we're going to give an invitation at the end of the service. Maybe there's the burden of sin in our life that we just need to leave at the altar. Listen, none of us here is perfect. Not one of us is without sin.
That's right.
But praise God that we can come to the Savior, amen, to the foot of the cross, and leave our burdens there. I love that old song, leave your heavy burdens at the cross. There's no reason for us to carry them around. Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is good. And even in the battles that we face, the spirit and the flesh fighting one with another, and sometimes we lose that battle and the flesh wins and we give in to those desires of the flesh and whatever it may be, God still forgives us. And we don't have to carry those burdens around. We don't have to live with those things because we can bring them to the Savior, casting all your care upon Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no rest when we're carrying burdens around, is there? There's no rest. There's turmoil. There's, you know, things going on in our head and just anxiety and all the things that comes along with it. But listen, when you go to the Savior, when you're freed from those sins, when you know you've been forgiven, there is a freedom. There is a freedom that releases you from all that. And there is rest in the Savior. But not only labor, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden is while labor is talking about the burdens that we bring on ourselves, heavy laden is talking about the burdens that are laid upon us by others. If you look over in Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter number 23 and verse number 1, it says, then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And what was happening was the Pharisees and the scribes are reading the law, and he's saying, hey, that you should listen to, but they're also telling you to do other things that they themselves don't even do. Things that there's no need for, and the people are feeling the burden from all these things that they're supposedly doing. Listen, I grew up, okay, in the Catholic religion. And I have family. And I understand, listen, a lot of it is, hey, you have to follow a lot of dues and a lot of works. And I did. But there's a lot of burden there. Because what happens if you don't do what you're supposed to? Then what happens? There's that burden unnecessarily. Now listen, I know that there's commands in the Bible that we're to follow. But they should not be grievous to us. They should not be a burden to us. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, because the Lord says, my yoke is easy and my yoke is light. You know, oftentimes you see people saying, well, do this and do that and do the other thing. And the worst thing that we could see is people being hypocrites. Years ago, I had a dear friend of mine who told me that the greatest compliment he ever received from his children was that they said, Dad, you're the same in home as you are at church. I never forgot that. He said, that's the greatest compliment that my kids could ever have told me. Because, listen, if we tell our children, do this and do this and do this and do this, and then we don't do it, well, it becomes a burden. And so being heavy laden is the burden that others put on us. Acts 15:10 says, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? We live by grace. We're not under the law. Jesus saved us by his grace. Now, we want to live for the Lord. But it's not about the doing. It's about the heart. I always tell people that. They're like, well, I want to do this, I want to do that, you know. And I always ask this, I said, it's about the heart. Why do you do what you do? Because to me, the why is so much more important than the doing. When you love God, your love for God will be reflected in a manifestation of your actions. The doing doesn't lead you to love Christ. The loving Christ will lead you to doing.
Amen.
And oftentimes we kind of put the cart before the horse. Is that the right expression? Put the cart before the horse. And try to get, we want to do this and do this and look this way and look that way and do that. And that'll get you spiritual. No, it won't. It'll get you bound up in all this doing and never growing in the knowledge of our Savior. Whereas when we come to the Savior and we know him in a personal way, man, we will want to do those things. It won't be a burden. It'll be a joy.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons why he says, my yoke is easy. Because when you love Christ, the doing, the being in Sunday school, those things are great. I love being excited. From the very first moment that I had an opportunity to do something for the Lord, I love being excited. I don't know anything else, but I know how to be excited. I remember serving in Awana the very first time. I didn't know what I was doing. Then they shifted some things around. I said, Do you want to lead the games? I'm like, sure. I was excited. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll do it. And I knew how to do one thing. I knew how to get those kids to scream. You get them excited. It took a while. I think they thought I was absolutely out of my mind, which there is some truth to that. But all I knew to do was be excited. So you show them the games. They're like, oh, and I run around with them. Let's go. Do what is that thing called? The Sparky Crawl, where the kids crawl on all fours across the gym floor. I get on the floor and crawl next to them. They thought it was the most hysterical thing in the world. And then I used to tell them, I said, listen, if you're not going to be excited, then we're not going to do it. I said, you got to be excited. Oh, okay, yeah. I said, no, I can't hear you. They used to have people come in, because at that time we used to do it in the fellowship hall. People come in from church like, game time, huh? I said, we can hear you all the way in the sanctuary. I never knew that. Pastor never said a word to me. But apparently the screams could be heard in the sanctuary. I'm glad I didn't know that. Pastor must have been like, wow, these newbies, they're killing me. But we can be excited. We don't want to be burdened down,
right.
Heavy laden,
right.
With the doing, because when you know Christ and you live for Christ, you can't help but be excited. You know why we become bored? Because we don't meet with Christ. Listen, it's an amazing thing to me when I think about who I was, what Jesus did, and where I am today. It is remarkable.
Amen.
It's remarkable. That's exciting to me. Heavy laden. Then he talks about the yoke. He says, take my yoke in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Now, when you think of a yoke, you kind of think of restriction. Because you think of a yoke, we think of oxen. Two oxen yoked together. So if you're one of those oxen, you're not thinking this as a good thing. Because wherever he goes, you go. Wherever you go, he goes. So you can't go anywhere else. The yoke was used, the Jews understood that the yoke was an illustration of, it was used to illustrate their obligation to God. You got to realize, the Jews, they followed the law. They tried to follow the law as much as possible. So there was this idea of the obligation to God, they understood. It was something that was familiar to them. And we know that when Jesus Christ taught in parables, he always taught in ways that were very familiar to the people. He taught about the good shepherd because they understood shepherding. So he always taught, when he taught about the wheat and the tares, they understood what he was saying. It was an illustration, a parable that they could understand. Here he uses the yoke because they understood what that meant. That was talking about an obligation to God. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When we have a personal relationship with Christ and we are yoked together with Christ, where he goes, we go. And then he says, and learn of me. So what does that mean? Hey, listen, to learn of me means to be a disciple of Christ. Disciples of Christ follow Jesus. So he's inviting us to put off the labor and to not be heavy laden. And then he says, put on the yoke. So that kind of almost seems backwards. Wait, you're telling me to get rid of the burdens. Now you're telling me to yoke together. He's saying, take my yoke. Take my yoke. Listen, when you take the yoke, when you yoke with Christ, it is not burdensome.
That's right.
There is a freedom. When they used to get young ox, they would always take a young ox and yoke it with a mature ox because the older, the more mature ox knew what to do. And they put the young one with the older one kind of as a guide. Listen, when we are yoked together with Christ, Christ is doing the leading. We're just following where he goes.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. We need to find rest and comfort. How are we going to find it? In Christ. How are we going to find it in Christ? By following where he goes. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to be without difficulties in life. But we can deal with them a lot better when we're right alongside the Savior. And the last point is that it's the relief. It says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Why are we going to find rest? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, he's not saying that there's not going to be burdens. He's saying my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is the relief? For the believer, it's liberty in Christ. Even for the unbeliever, listen, there is liberty in Jesus Christ. Not the liberty to do whatever we want to do. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Here's an illustration. We're here. We're in our sin. We're shackled. We come to the Savior. He frees us. Praise God. We're excited. We want to do something for God. And then at some point, here's this box of entanglement, let's call it. Burdens. Maybe it's things in the past that we kind of like to look back on. Whatever it is, things that we still dabble in, whatever's in that box. It's about a 200-pound box. It's sitting there, and you got a rope tied to your ankle. So you get excited. Man, Lord, I love you. I want to serve you. And you start to go and you start to drag this burden with you. I love God. And you want to keep going on, but it's holding you back. And Jesus is saying, don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage again. Cut that off and be free from it so that you can serve. Why? Put the yoke of Christ on because his burden is light and his yoke is easy. Leave that stuff behind. Listen, if there's something today that we are carrying around, leave it at the altar. Cast your care upon him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, that all that old sin, you could free that up today. John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." This is the truth.
Amen.
There's a lot of different things that I hear people saying. Listen, I'm not even going to get into all that. Okay? Jesus said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
That's right.
They've been trying to disprove the word of God since the first words were written. And here we are today in 2017. Still ain't found nothing. The word of God, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Listen, this is the word of God. This is the truth. And the truth shall set you free from whatever it is you're dragging around. Liberty in Christ. The Lord's yoke is easy. You know why we look at the Lord's, and I'm going to say burdens. He says my burden is light. But you know why we don't look at the Lord's burdens, quote unquote, as being light? Because when we go to serve God, okay, we say, oh, I can't because of this, that. You know what we're doing? We're carrying all our other burdens with us. So now we're saying, oh, look at all these burdens. Hey, how about we leave this junk behind and just follow Christ? We bring our own burdens, and then we say, oh, the Lord, this is too hard, God. People have said, you know, it's hard to serve the Lord, you know? I see what happens to people that are serving God. I see what happens to people that are surrendered to the Lord. Hey, I see what happens to people that aren't. I see what happens to people that don't come to Christ.
Right.
We know what happens to people that die without the Savior.
Right.
It's tragic. But we can share the good news.
Amen.
And then there's rest for your souls. I love what he says. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then he had said before that, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. God doesn't want, you know, the Lord doesn't want us walking around with turmoil and all this confusion and whatnot. Leave it all there. All oftentimes we don't bring our burdens to Christ because of pride. You say, well, what does that mean? How many of us, and my hand going up first, how many of us try and fix problems ourselves? How many of us have all the right answers? I've shared with you before my little list that I make every time I have a problem. I hate that list, by the way. I just want you to know that. I still make them. But you know what? We make every excuse for not, you know, well, this is what God says. You know, I love our pastor because you know what? He always, always, whenever I have a question, I ask him counsel. You know what he does? He opens up the Bible. And he says, you know, in this, remember years ago, I asked him about wanting to do something more for the Lord. This is probably going back 10 years ago. And I said, you know, I'm struggling, Pastor. I said, is it just my wanting to do this particular thing, or is it from the Lord? That was my question. I said, you know, there's things I want to do. You know, whether it's sing or whether it's, you know, children's ministry. I said, how do I know that it's me? And how do I know it's the Lord and not my desires? And he took me right to, I'll never forget it, he took me right to Psalm 37:4. He said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I never forgot that to this day. He says, if you desire to do something for God, that's not coming from the devil. He said, delight thyself. You know what? When you're excited about God, God's going to put desires in your heart to do them. And I never, ever, ever forgot that. Hey, if God's put something on your heart, go do it. Just do it. Delight thyself in the Lord. Let's take on the yoke of Christ. His burden is easy. Listen, we all are going to deal with things. It's funny when people say, oh, you know, I can't do that. Listen, I told you, I fought with the Lord for 6 months. I fought with the Lord for 6 months. Because I thought, well, I like to have party. I like to hang out. I got to give up all this stuff. My life is going to be boring. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. And people will say, like, yeah, I don't want to do all that because there's too many problems and there's too many this and there's too many. There's problems everywhere. But listen, if we're going to have a burden, quote unquote, wouldn't you want to be where the burden is light? Because when you are yoked with Christ, and when you are following Christ, and when you are serving the Lord, he is right there guiding,
that's right,
and directing and lovingly nurturing us and guiding us along. And you can be rest assured that if you are yoked with Christ, where he is, you are. And there's no better place to be. There's no better place to be. We can find rest and comfort in our souls. Rest and comfort if we cast all our care upon him. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that we can find rest in the shelter of your wings. Lord, that we can come to you, even in the most difficult, trying circumstances, and we can find rest. Lord, I pray that if someone here doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, that they never made that decision. Lord, may they today know the salvation of the Lord. May they know today and experience the wonderful freedom from sin that they can experience when they come to you. And Lord, for us as believers, maybe there's some burden that we've been carrying around. Lord, as we give the invitation, may they just come forward. Lord, leave those burdens and Lord, just follow you. Joyfully, knowing, Lord, that we can find rest because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.